Greetings, everyone. This is Tutu, and today's show is about self-acceptance. And it part of our sacred art, which is the whole year, by the way, is on the sacred art of something. So for those of you who are just coming in now, there are some other videos prior that cover this. And I have 12 different sacred arts that I focus on. And here, when I say sacred, I'm referring to the word sacred as meaning secret, which means hidden art of whatever. So just take it for that. Hidden art. You can also use sacred to be helpful too here as something that's simplified, something that is that has a deeper meaning and a special meaning to you. So those are the two ways I'm using the word, and there's other ways to use it, but I want to be clear about that. This month is a new beginning. We're starting with new subject matter, and the subject matter is the sacred art of external expression. And I actually have to check my notes because I think I changed the title a couple times from the secret art of self-expression to the secret art of external expression. I can't remember. So, but the bottom line is the focus is on that part of us that other people see, that part of us that we project. External transformation, that's the word I use. The secret art of external transformation. I want to be clear that this is anything I talk about is a broad topic. I mean, when I say broad, we could spend months on just one topic and then probably just one section of that topic. So this condensed version that I present is always going to miss something because I can't give it all. I can't cover it all. And there's stuff I don't know. So we have not only what I know, there's also a whole spectrum of stuff I'm not aware of yet, or keep that in mind. So if you end up having questions about, I thought I heard, or I blah, 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 you know, put the question somewhere, send it to me. If I can answer it, I will. If I cannot, I will explain to you why I cannot. And then we can move on. My purpose for doing these is to bring you a different perspective. That's why it's called the Horizon Show, Horizon Radio, is to give you a different view, of different way to look at things so that you can begin to expand your perspective of your world. The purpose, ultimate purpose of expanding your perspective is for your soul growth. So this is not for people who are focused on materialistic gains only. Notice I say only. It's for people who are focused on an entire spectrum of gain, whether it be mental, physical, emotional, financial, spiritual, whatever, all of the realms that make you you. All right, so let's begin to talk about today's topics, which sacred art of external transformation, excuse me, and specifically we're going to talk about self-acceptance. This morning or yesterday, I got a question from somebody about how do we connect with our soul? And I touched on it with a 1-minute answer, which is what Instagram kind of allows. And I like that. I like to be limited to that 1 minute. But I want to touch a little bit more on this topic for this person, as well as anybody else that may have this question. Because I'm thinking it's a simple one, because there's enough information out there about that. I figured everybody already knows how to connect with and tap into their soul, how to build the relationship. So, but it clearly it's still, for some people, it's still new, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying that I miss this part being an important part to cover. So I want to cover it here. The first thing to remember is it's a relationship, okay? Like all relationships, it's work, and work is not a bad thing. People sometimes, as soon as you hear the word work, you may think, oh man, I gotta do. No, it takes time and it takes effort because you live in a realm that is controlled to some extent by time. And also depends on how much stuff you got, how much baggage you have between you and your soul, how much layers of stuff you've put on, or you've picked up over your time here, that will prevent you from having a quicker or close connection. Some people will claim to have a close connection with their soul, but in fact, they have a close connection with their lower ego expressing itself as what they think is their soul. So there's a lot going on there. So let's start with the first thing. It's a relationship. because it's a relationship, just like when you meet somebody for the first time, you want to get to know them, you want to listen, you want to spend time doing things together, you know, so that you can get to know the quirks and how this, you know, what this person needs, and you're learning about this person. Well, I would recommend you do the same thing when you're beginning to connect with your soul. My understanding of the soul is through its descent into this body, into what we call this flesh body, there's aspects of it that remain in so-called heaven, and then there's aspects of it that is dispersed throughout our body temple, and then there's aspects of it in nature based on our ancestral lineage, and aspects of it in other realms as well. So, but the biggest, or the seat of the soul, is your heart. We're going to focus on the heart because for most people, that's really where you just need to get to. The rest of it, yes, you do need to get to that as well. We also know there's the head is important. Your head is very important. But that's something that I would recommend you connect with me to talk about, to work with, rather than me trying to cover that 10-minute video. And also, I want to make sure that I focus on the topic, not go off into all these different things. So back to the seat of the soul being the heart being a vast realm with multiple dimensions of its own, that's really where most of us need to just start. When you're going to build that relationship, or when you decide that it's time to start rebuilding, by the way, because you had it when you were younger, most of us come here with that deep connection with our soul, and somehow we get these layers and layers of habits put on us. Societal rules and guidelines and restrictions and all sorts of stuff gets put on us. And then by the time we're, I don't know, whatever age, when we get triggered by something that says it's time to be the person you came here to be, or it's time to connect with your deep soul purpose, then all of a sudden we realize we've got these layers that we got to uncover to really reconnect with our true selves. So the relationship has always been there. Your soul is was with you when you got here. It'll be the only dainty, the only energy that's going to be with you at the end. So if you're going to have a best friend or a good relationship with any being, any entity, please consider making that your soul. For those of you who are afraid of going into Afrocentric or ATRs or voodoo and all of this stuff because you've been brainwashed and mind control, all of the above, at least have a good relationship with your soul, because that will ensure that you are, at the very least, deliver the goods you came here to deliver, regardless of what religion or path that you decide to follow. Now, I say that, but there's caveats, whatever, but whatever. We'll just move on. So back to the relationship with the soul, getting to know your soul. Because the relationship may have been tainted, you're not at a position where you can actually just connect with your soul. You feel like you're disconnected. And some people will say, okay, you need a soul retrieval. I don't like the term soul retrieval because I don't think your soul ever left you. So I prefer another word, maybe soul reconnection. I use the soul with this. I use the word rediscovery, reconnection, and remember. Those are the three things I use to help folks understand that rebuilding of relationship. You're not retrieving anything. You think you are. But what we're really doing is you're opening your first eye, your third eye, and you're really going deep within your own systems to reconnect with what's already there. You're the problem, not your soul. Your soul haven't left. It hasn't been sullied. There's nothing going on with that. It's you that has to. And when I say you, I'm referring to the aspects of the personality that you call you. The part that says, I'm this, I'm that, I am this, I am that. That's the one I'm referring to, not the higher self. By the way, some people do refer to the soul as guardian angel. Some people refer to it as Ori. And there's all these different terms, higher self. It doesn't matter what you choose to use. What matters is, does that resonate with you enough for you to want to do the work required to maintain and to first rediscover, reconnect, remember, and maintain that relationship throughout your lifespan? So back to how you do it. The simplest way to do it is really to be quiet. What I mean by being quiet, I've gotten to a space where I can connect with my soul while I'm having a conversation with you. So I don't have to be quiet. I just have to be, I just have to go within as I'm doing whatever else I'm doing. I can be soulfully connected as I'm washing dishes, as I'm dancing, talking to other people, which I just gave an example of, when I'm doing work, spiritual work for sure. That took years. It wasn't always like that. So for some of you, you have to go into quiet space because you cannot hear that gentle voice, that soft whisper that is within you. And you're not able to connect with it right away. Now, some of you are already. You don't need to do a lot to do that. But if you're one of those people that feel like you cannot do it, one of the ways you can start is by being quiet and listening. Listening skills is the biggest thing that you can pick up. Listening means quieting down the chatter of your mind long enough to hear. We do this with other people. If you're taking like listen communication class, any kind of regular communication class, they'll talk to you about learning how to listen. And what they'll say is, you cannot listen well if you're thinking about your response. Okay, so for you to be able to listen to, let's say, another individual you're talking to, you have to shut that inner voice or lower it, really. You're not completely shutting it down, but lower that inner voice enough that you can actually hear what the person is saying. And then there's other things that you can do, such as reflection, summary, and all this other stuff. And I actually, I have one of my sessions is The Secret Art of Communication. We go into that very deeply. Learning how to listen is part of one of the skill sets you have to develop in order to really hear your soul. A lot of times we struggle with listening because we think we have to always respond. You do not have to say anything. You can just be quiet. This works well when you're listening to other people and you really want to understand them. One of the key tools you can use when you're trying to understand other people in your soul is not to respond, is to just absorb. And that requires time. And unfortunately, we live in a society right now where 30 seconds of silence drives people mad. I just gave you an example of 3 seconds of silence or 4 seconds, whatever it was. And I bet you some of you were like, what's going on? So imagine 30 seconds of just silence, no radio, no TV, no computer, no nothing, just silence. So learning to be silent enough to hear takes life skills. And if you're born in this generation, when I mean this generation, the past, I don't know, 20 years, give or take, there's been a movement toward preventing you from listening, from quieting enough to the point where most of you are attached at the hip to these so-called phones, which to me are just objects of mass destruction. Computers, and mind you, I obviously use them. But what's happening is we're connecting to them the way we really need to be connecting to nature. Let me back up a little bit because I'm going all over the place. Not all over, but I'm going a little too far into this and I really want to focus on the topic at hand. To build the connection with your soul, you need to be quiet and you need to listen. Those are the two things. You can do it through meditation. You can do it through reflection. You can do it in your living room, in your bathroom. You can do it in your in nature. You can do it anywhere. There's enough information out there that can help you. If you're still struggling, contact somebody, anybody that you feel connected to for support. If there's anything you get from this entire month of external transformation, is that your external transformation begins with internal connection. Okay, without that compass, whatever it is you're trying to transform is going to be misguided. It's like a missile pointing in the wrong direction. And that's not going to serve you in the long run. So you've got to connect with yourself. So that's really all I need to say about that. By the way, I do have like some free meditation stuff that I created several years ago on Spark of Life, which I'm it's called Spark of Life Sunrise or Souls Meditation. And there's several of those. I'm going to move them eventually to my website, but in the meantime, you can go there. YouTube has tons of meditation for free that you can connect with. There is no lack of resource. Really, the lack is finding the time and making the commitment to learn and listen. And also, if you're very new to this, I would recommend you have a journal. And you journal each day that you do this, even if it's 3 minutes, and you write what you get, including if what you get is nothing. Oh, and I'm just reminded right now to also share with you, as you tap into the seat, into your soul and your heart, you may begin to feel things, whether it be you're hearing things, you're sensing things, and I say hearing things, not some loud person talking in your ear. If you're hearing that, we need to talk. But if you're sensing and knowing and all these kind of, and seeing colors, you know, a lot of subtle messages, those things are normal. And so you got to know what to expect so that you don't freak out if you're very, very new to this. Okay, for those of you that are very new. For those of you not new, you all know. You're all dancing with your stars. So back to the Sacred Art of External Transformation and self-acceptance, which is today's most topic. Before you can actually transform anything, I have come to realize, is you also have to connect with the deeper part of yourself. As you connect with parts of yourself, you transform parts of yourself. So it's they work hand in hand. It's a relationship. Transformation here, we're dealing, when I speak of transformation, I'm speaking specifically about change. Okay. There are many tools you can use to tap into that inner part of yourself so you can begin the process of transformation. One of the ones that I used very early on was totems. Specifically animal totems, because they help me to see certain animalistic behaviors within me that I needed to evolve or gain better understanding of. These totems, I did not see them as these spirits that were out there. I saw them as mirrored expressions of what's in here. So let's say I had, I'll give you an example of one that I worked with for a long time. It was the turtle. When I was in my youth, I'm talking about like 11, 12 years old, I purchased turtle earrings, silver turtle earrings. And, oh no, it wasn't the turtle, excuse me, it's the owl. That's what it was. It was the owl. I knew it was something different. Because I was told by many people that I was wise for my age, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I would just say things that were these brilliant and very deep wisdom stuff in my younger years, but I didn't even know where the heck they were coming from. I would say something and then, but I had no real life experience to connect it with. It would just come out of me as a portal, clearly, right? An ancestor speaking through me, basically. But I didn't really know, I couldn't relate it to real world experiences because I didn't really have them yet. I'm in my teens, I'm in my 20s, and I'm spewing out wisdom that I haven't really experienced. So I couldn't relate them to today. I could only relate them in a way that hopefully whoever I was sharing it with, they got it, okay? By working with the owl, I was able to accept the aspect, that wisdom aspect of myself, but also the downside of it. The downside of the owl, excuse me, is that it has these wonderful this wonderful eyesight, but hearing with the H, his hearing is not the same level as some of the other prey animals. So I had to learn to develop my sense of hearing and listening. I had to work with that because I identified a negative aspect of the owl. Some owls, most of them, are nocturnal, and I wasn't. I was a daytime person. I mean, you know, morning person. I love the day. I love the twilight, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, why is there this totem is about nighttime? This animal thrives in the night, sees better at the night, doesn't see as quite as well in the day, blah, blah, blah. It just didn't make sense to me. So there I had to spend some time working on my nighttime. What's my nighttime? My nighttime are aspects of me that are in the dark. Aspects of me I was afraid to face. So the owl taught me how to see in the dark. And in the dark, not in the dark, referring to out there in the dark, but the dark inside of me. Parts of me I did not want to connect with or didn't know how. Not so much didn't want to, really. I just didn't know I had parts of me that was unknown to me. I was going through self-discovery. That's what that is. So that's an example of using a totem. There's many, many, many other examples, and there's many, many, many other ways. So please do not take this. This is my just one example. But again, I'm limiting this to an hour-ish of a call, of a podcast. Journeying is another way to go within and connecting. Shamanic journeying is what people refer to today as. Astral travel, daydreaming, night dreaming, or night visions, all those going into your dark space types of expressions or visualization and seeing can help you to connect with parts of you that, one, you may not know is present, and two, you may not be ready or even know how to accept. What started the self-expression component of this topic was an awareness that for me, there's parts of me I'm still not comfortable people seeing. And this is me at 50. So imagine what I was like in my 20s or in my teens. I had a much bigger spectrum of self that I didn't want people to know about. And not everybody's this way. I know people who don't have as much of an issue when they're younger and so on. So it's not everyone that's going to have a broad area of themselves that they're keeping hidden from other people. And one, you have to accept the fact that that's normal for many of us, not everybody. And two, it takes a lifetime to know all of yourself. I'm going to repeat that. It takes a lifetime to know all of yourself. There's always going to be an aspect of self-discovery. So it's not like something you're going to hit or get and then you check it off your list. Ooh, I'm completely self-accepted myself or whatever. And it's done. I can now rest now. Now, having said that, are there people who reach that Buddha-like state where they can stand outside of themselves completely and observe the full spectrum of who they are? Yes. Are there many of those people? No. And anyone that says to me they are one of those people, I'm going to be suspect. Because the ones who actually are will never say that. Because it doesn't need to be said. It is lived. It is expressed in their walk. It is expressed in their way of being. So having said that, think of it as a lifelong process. And also think of it as that self-acceptance is part of what we're here to live. Meaning when we come across situations that trigger us, that forces us, and sometimes it's not even have to force us, that enables us to see that part of us that's hidden, that's where the self-discovery happens. Several times in my life, I have deliberately gone into situations when I saw that those situations were going to help me see aspects of myself I was resistant to. Not just see, but accept aspect of myself I was resistant to. A good example of that is for a long time, I was resistant to an aspect of myself that can rage, R-A-G-E, that's beyond anger, right? That's raging, the Kali aspect of me. And I was afraid of that because I knew that was pretty rough. And when I say rough, I knew that aspect of me was very, very, very big, huge. So I was afraid of it. Like, how do I face my own rage and embrace it and recognize that it's a part of me and that it has a role in my life? that it can be there to protect me against, let's say, a life or death situation. Maybe, because the more evolved we become, the less we recognize some of this stuff is really, it's not what it appears to be. So I'll say it that way. Like, for example, now that I have embraced aspects of my rage, I don't really have a need to express it. I usually can heal a situation or transform a situation before I even get to the aspect of rage. Perfect example is, I know I had recent relationships I had to end in the past few months because those situations were reflecting aspects of me that I have come to accept and I'm comfortable with, and I have transformed, and I was done with them, and I was comfortable with being done with that and moving on. Had I not end those relationships and I kept them going and kept suppressing the need to move into something else, a different realm of operation, it's quite likely that eventually I would get deep anger, resentment, and eventually rage, because I was not facing the parts of me that needed to move to another space. So even before it got to the point of rage, I was able to move on. The spectrum of the self, the spectrum of ourselves, can encompass many, many things, and it can be very, very broad. So let me see if I can, I think I'm forgetting something that relates to this. Oh, facing current reality. That's another big part of external transformation. In order for us to actually in order for us to deal with or accept or transform our external, we have to be able to unite or be in alignment with what's present, what's happening now. Too often we're in the past or we're in the future. I used to be very connected to the polarities of the past and the polarities of the future. And now I'm connected much more to the polarities, I'm connected much more to my present state of being. And right now this is my third show where I'm actually not, I didn't write anything in advance. I just literally just put like three sentences just to remind me where I'm going, but I didn't write anything in advance. So I'm fully present. I'm delivering this to you as it's coming to me. And that can be scary, especially if you're someone like me who doesn't like to speak publicly, even though I'm good at it, interestingly enough. But I don't like to be a public speaker because it means putting out that full spectrum of myself for judgment, for people to look at and go, oop, I don't like, and so on. So as I'm becoming more and more okay with the full expression of myself, I am becoming more okay with people not liking the full expression of myself, or not just not liking, but also some people hating because they're expressing that inner rage or hate aspect of themselves that they may not even be in touch with. So back to external transformation and helping us to face our current reality. Until we face the current reality, we can't really move from a place of authenticity. That place of authenticity is the place where the soul gets to come through, okay? So that's the main connection you get from this message, is that until you're in that present moment, until you're connected with the who I really am in this moment, it is very difficult to express the soul through ourselves. Let me explain it another way. If you're a dancer, if you're a singer, if you're any kind of artist, or even not even an artist, if you're just a person that is in touch with yourself, you have had those moments where you're in the zone. Okay, you've had those moments where you're expressing yourself in such a way that you're able to do things that you don't even know how you're doing it. As a matter of fact, the book that I wrote, Shea's Quest, on Amazon, $5, small quick read, go and check it out. The book that I wrote while in the zone. I literally was encased within a now moment time for a period of, I don't know, a day or something. Yeah, it was about a day. And I wrote the book. Literally was written in a day, give or take. And then, of course, I modified it afterwards and so on and so forth. But all of it came through as a download that was within a 12-hour period. That's being in the moment. That's allowing that soul communication to be wide open. And it was a beautiful experience. I've done it also with art. I've done it also when I do it very easily when I dance. And a lot of you dancers who may be listening to this, you know what I'm talking about. Because if you have that kinesthetic connection to the soul, into your spirits too, not just the soul, it's very easy for you to tap into those various components of yourself and do the what some people call embodiment of various spirits and of course embodiment of a projection or aspect of your soul. Because my understanding at this point is you cannot fully embody the entirety of your soul. It's aspects that you project onto this realm. And that's something I'm still discovering because, again, I'm also on a journey and I have teachers that help me learn a little bit more. And I may be a little bit more advanced than the ones who are listening to this, but the rabbit hole, as they say, goes very, very, very deep. So back to Secret Art of External Transformation. What are some of the techniques that can begin to help you? I did talk about it a little bit earlier. First technique was to silence yourself so you can have a connection with the soul, with your soul. You know, I have to be careful. That word "the" is so broad. One of the ways we can connect with our soul is to use the word "our soul," my soul, versus the soul. And I kind of made a comment about this recently regarding the ancestors. It's like, they're not the ancestors. They're your ancestors, my ancestors. So it's good to connect with them at that level. And immediately there's a different, you step into a different realm of creation when you make that switch. So let's get back to techniques. The technique that has helped me quite a bit besides the totem, which I mentioned earlier, is deep breathing. Okay. Or just breath work. Okay, let me not even say deep breathing. Relearning how to breathe correctly. I'm going to share another personal story with you. When I was younger, I used to walk to school, and it was about a mile. I don't remember, but it was a while. Because it took about 30 minutes, leisure walk. Maybe, I don't know how long it was. But and I used to love walking to school. And one day, I recognized that I was a mouth breather, that I was not taking deep breaths. And it bothered me. I was like, why am I, you know, I've got nostrils. Why am I breathing through my mouth? And I dived into it and learned a lot of times, and this is not everyone, sometimes through trauma, we stop breathing correctly. And we do the mouth breathing or we do other forms of breathing that is not enabling us or supporting or systems of properly. Now, mouth breathing also helps us get more air into our lungs. So there was other things going on for me as well. But the bottom line is I was walking with a lot of anxiety, in an anxiety, anxious state. Let me just use the word anxious state. So the walk, the mouth breathing was a way for me to breathe, to get some oxygen. At the time, my home environment was very difficult. So that one hour a day, morning and evening, where I got to walk and breathe deeply was literally therapy. And it was deep breath therapy. And by the time I got to school, I was in a much different mindset. And by the time I came home, I was also in a much different mindset. So deep breath is therapeutic. And it is the easiest and best thing you can do. I literally could say, if you do nothing at all, you don't do altars, you don't do affirmations, if you do nothing at all and you just become a master of your breath, you're done in terms of what you need to be able to live and connect with your soul and have a wholesome and a well-being life, because your breath detoxes your body, your breath supports your autonomic nervous system, Your breath supports your peripheral nervous system. Your breath supports everything. We can live without water for much longer. We can live without food for a very long time. We can live without people for a certain period of time. And for some of us, a lot longer. But the breath, most of us have 3 seconds, not 3 seconds, 3 minutes. And some people who have worked in developing a little bit more, they can do longer, you know, deep divers, whatever. They've learned how to hold their breath much longer. But the average person's about 3 minutes. So your breath is the single most important thing that you can start with right now. I'm going to do a plug for my elder sister, Ayo, who teaches breathology. And that's where I got my certification to do breath work through her. You can look her up, Breathology. I can't remember the name of the website right now, but definitely look her up. She offers sessions in classes. Of course, I do too. So you can always contact me as well if you want to work on, I'll use the word mastering because you all understand what that means, even though at the end of the day, that's a loaded word. But learn how to use the breath in order for you to heal, to support external transformations and so on. So I don't know if I've made it clear enough that your soul and your breath are the two most important things you need to connect with if you're just starting out. And if that sounds like I'm speaking about Buddhist meditation or any kind of meditation, yeah, you know, there's truth to that. Those are the two things that you really, if you focus your energy on those two things, the rest of it will be easier. Now, having said that, there are some people that need tools, okay? They need tools. And some of those tools are called altars, that alter your state, shrines. And those tools, don't discard them. Some people feel that those tools are not necessary at all. I have to agree, at some point they may not become necessary to you. But if they are necessary right now, honor that. There's no shame in needing to have an external altar to alter your internal states. There's no guilt. And also there's no demonic or evil or all that negative stuff that's put out about that. Because for some people, that's important to start there. And everything else takes the place. And by the way, that tends to be people that are closest to the earth. Those of us that are very close to nature need to work with altars and stuff like that. So do that. Find a way to choose a system. I mean, you know, whatever system works for you where you are now that can help you to begin to work with altars for external transformation. So I think this went a little bit longer than I had hoped. Not hope that I wanted. And part of the reason is these topics are so broad that I could talk for a long time and give so much information that it actually, becomes confusing. It's best to take a little bite, like you're eating your meals. You take a small bite, you digest it, and then you're done. You fully digest it, and then you come back for more rather than going to a buffet and eating the entire buffet. And then you basically end up constipated or whatever happens when you eat too much. You fall asleep. you know, something to that effect. So small bite size are very good for some of us who have small stomachs. They're very good. It's a very good way for you to digest information and be able to integrate that information into your life in a way that's wholesome. For those of you who want more support, do contact me for either one-on-one. I have a 9-week session training that's starting. For those of you who want to dive a little deeper, it's on my page. It's called Osumasa Consciousness. It covers a full spectrum of things that I talk about, and it goes deep. We meet for 2 hours via Skype. In addition, you have assignments, and you get linked into a site where you can actually download information, videos, and I think it's like 20 plus videos. I can't remember, but it's a really well put together course, if I do say so myself. It's the kind of course, let me say this much, it's the kind of course I wish I had when I decided that I wanted to dive deeper. So I created for you, with the help of my guides, with the support of my ancestors and everyone else, something that I know can help you to the next level should you be ready and able to get started. Share this, obviously, and send me questions and other stuff to 22@soto22.net. Thanks for listening and have a fantastic, fantastic day. Thank you for listening to Horizon Radio. If you like what you just heard, please pass along our web address to your family, friends, and colleagues. If you did not like it, pass it along to your enemies. Just be sure to check out our previous podcast. This show has been a Soto Tutu production. Visit us online at sototutu.net. Please join us next time for another edition of Horizon Radio.